welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast, all the things we did not get to during the course of the show today. And from time to time, we have potties. When we love our potties, man, that listen to the show all the time. Stop by. And today is one of those days. Joshua, how are you, man?
I am doing great. Thank you for having me.
Now, Joshua, you're sitting in Gavin's chair because Gavin called in sick today. What do you think about that? Should he have done that?
I think he's let you down.
Thank you. Thank you. Joshua has listened to the show before. He gets it. He knows.
Yep.
What brings you in today?
Well, I'm just getting the way of the land of Nashville. I arrived last night, and I got kind of the way of Franklin a little bit. I went to a, it's Jenny's. Jenny's the ice
Jenny's
cream
Jenny's ice
place.
Cream. Yeah. What did you get?
I got just the chocolate vanilla. Pretty standard.
Brown butter almond brittle. I'm telling you, before you leave, get that before you leave. It will change your life.
Yeah. Well, they do have some seasonal flavors, so I don't know if...
Don't even care. Don't even waste your time
so
with
ask
those.
Them.
Brown butter almond brittle.
But I'm saying it may be seasonal. It may not be out.
Oh, then go to Publix. They carry it. They carry it year round.
I actually did go to Publix.
They carry it year round.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
$8, but it's the best $8 you'll ever spend.
Wow.
I'm telling you, it will change your life. So what are you in town for? Are you in town for work?
Yep. So... it's long story short. I want to get a job here in Nashville within the next few years.
Oh,
I'm gonna go to audio engineering music technology school in the fall.
Oh, okay.
Gonna get a
here?
Not here.
Okay.
I'm originally from Kansas City, and so they have a good program there. And so I want to get a job in the music business.
There you go.
Eventually. So
well, there you go. This is the place to be for that.
Yeah.
Not an easy business.
No.
You got to work hard. But
right.
There you go. And,
yep.
And show up, unlike Gavin. all right, so let's get into some of the stuff that we didn't get to today. Betty Rock, I had pulled this story, and you ended up seeing it on the TV on Good Morning America, and were just as terrified as I was. There was a guy, it was a flight in South Korea, I think, and there's a passenger that actually made it to the exit door while the plane was flying and opened the exit door.
That is... unfathomable.
I have so many questions.
Yeah, like, why did they allow it?
Yeah.
Like, if you saw somebody doing this, you should at least ring for a stewardess and get somebody.
And the thing is, there's like two people in the seat. He went to a bulkhead, so it wasn't like one of the wing ones. He went to a bulkhead, so there's three people that are sitting right there. The minute that guy touches that door, if I'm sitting there, that guy's getting slammed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm going to unbuckle and I'm going to tackle that guy.
Well, and also, don't they ask, like, on most flights, if not all, which I know this one I think was a Korean flight, so maybe they don't do this, but those that that sit in the exit row, they ask them, are you willing to
assist? Yeah.
Well, these people obviously were not.
They were useless.
Right. They didn't even stand up to the guy.
Yeah, like I saw the footage and the people in that front seat, like they didn't even move them to other seats. There's so much wind in their faces because they're traveling at 500 miles an hour.
Well, and I think they said that 12 people were sent to the hospital.
I did see that. And a lot of it was ear damage from the difference in air pressure. Because the cabins are pressurized. And so when that happens, it was not nearly as dramatic as what you see in movies. In movies, they shoot the plane with a bullet hole and it opens up the whole thing and all rips out and everyone gets sucked out. Or they open the door and everyone gets sucked out.
Mm-hmm.
This was windy.
And I would even dare to say that there were some people like six rows down that just looked like they were like on any other flight.
Yeah.
But thankfully, the people were buckled up. And they don't really have a reason as to why this guy did it. He was like 32. And
yeah. They arrested
really
him, but
why.
They don't know why. Maybe he's mentally disturbed or something. And I think, I don't know if it played into it, but I had heard something that they were only like 800 feet off the ground or something. So they, like, dude, you couldn't wait another 800 feet? You
right.
know, like, so maybe that also factored into why maybe no one was sucked out of the plane. I don't know. But that's what you see in every movie. I've always wondered if that happens. And this didn't appear to be that way. But boy, super. If you're on that plane, that's terrifying.
Take me through the steps of what you would do if you saw this happen on a flight that you're in.
Okay. I'd be like, sir, what are you doing?
Oh,
sir, I would ask. I'd be like, what are you doing, man?
You would handle it yourself first.
Absolutely. Like, I'd be like, what are you doing, bro? And he'd be like, I am going to open this door. And I'd be like, no, you're not. And he's like, no, I'm going to open this door right now. I'm like, it's on. Click, click. That's my seatbelt, not a gun. I'm not packing.
Okay, good. So you're at no point are you calling for someone to assist you or someone who is in charge?
No, when you're an amateur first responder / hero, you don't have time to do those things, Rock. You just
take care of it.
When you're a man of action, okay, you just swing into action, you know? And then later on in all the interviews when they were like, you're uncomfortable with the word hero, aren't you? I'd be like, not really. Use it more. This is why I did this.
So you would tackle the guy on your
Absolutely
own.
Absolutely, I would. I think
and
about
then the
this.
Irony would be that he would beat you up.
Probably.
Now you're not buckled
now,
in, and now he opens the door.
But then I get sucked out. Yes. But no, now, if I even just in those instances, if you can slow down a situation where other people can help and people realize we need to do something now, because I think everybody is so in shock at first. In all of these situations, I always want to make sure that I have all the information and I was doing the right thing.
You?
I would.
Because a lot of times you don't really care if you have all the information or not.
Yeah, but like when it's going to be like a physical altercation or something like that, if you were walking, like if I was three seats back, I'd be like, wait, what's going on? What's going on? And I'd assess a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But if you're right there, absolutely. I've literally thought, I had a guy being unruly on a long flight. This guy was drunk and he was unruly, one seat in front of me. Mm-hmm. And he was getting like causing problems for the flight attendant, and he was starting to be a disruption. And I had literally figured out in my head, I had it all dialed in what I was going to do if things went south. And it was like, it's so easy because I'm like behind him, so he can't really hit me hard. I can get him in a full Nelson easily and like lean
headlock
back and choke him out. Mm. And there you go.
You have a lot of faith in your capabilities.
I do, actually. Although I do, I have a hurt arm right now, so
right?
I'd have to get someone else to choke him out.
I was massaging his shoulder.
Okay,
me.
Well, yeah.
Me.
This is the thing. I'm like, oh, my arm hurts. And she goes, oh, here, let me try it. And she takes her little pointy thumb and jabs it straight into the wound. And like just digs around like that, and you did that
and
to hurt
welcome.
Me. Yeah, you weren't trying to help me though.
No, I mean like no. I was trying to help.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I don't think so at all. But no, I would definitely get involved. Like especially when you see like a flight attendant get punched. How everyone's sitting, like there's guys sitting, how every guy sitting in that area
hasn't done something already.
Like hits a woman. How you don't get up and instantly pop that guy? I don't understand that. Like to me, but I guess it's that bystander thing. Everyone's shocked and you don't know what you're gonna do. That's why you have to run through all these scenarios in your head so you know.
That's why you need an amateur hero
like Wally
on every flight.
Oh my gosh, I should start a YouTube channel or a TikTok about being an amateur hero and do courses, and then we could run through mock scenarios and I could sell courses to be an amateur hero.
You know that those who are our first responders would say, please do not put this out there because people will take you at your word and think that's what I'm supposed
and
to do.
And maybe we'd have a better world because we can't always count on an actual first responder because they're just not always there. And so sometimes
you are?
Yeah, always there. Mm. Always present.
My
Remember that
God.
Time I held an oxygen tank for that guy on the plane?
Yes.
That's pretty impressive.
You just held
I did.
Oxygen.
I held it straight. And like they, like the end, like the flight
even
attendant.
Even offered them some random pills.
I did. Because I had pills. I knew what was happening. The lady was having high blood pressure and I had clonidine.
And you knew it.
A pill that could instantly take her blood pressure down. And they're like, well, let us talk to a doctor first. I'm like, if you want to. So they have a headset on. They're talking to a doctor on the ground.
I'm so glad someone responsible was there to help.
I'm like, here, open up. And then, so like when they walked away from it, I'm like, open your mouth. Bam.
Oh,
open your mouth. Take a sip of water. Open your mouth.
That's terrible.
I can save you. But I did. I held that thing. At the end, she was like, man, we appreciate your help. Thank you very much. No one has ever held an oxygen bottle that still before on a flight. And thank you for your bravery, your service, your heroicness.
You should have stopped.
Yeah.
And we all
None
know
of that happened. I think they forgot I was holding it. I took it home with me.
They didn't even want anyone to hold it. If anything, you were standing in the
I
way.
Yeah, I got it. that's actually very true. Lady Rock, what do you got?
I found the perfect, according to science, the perfect formula for the perfect summer vacation. So if you're going to take one, maybe you want to follow this formula. They say you travel with at least four people you want to be with. Now, there is the trick. The people that you want to be with.
Traveling with anybody, that's how you really get to know people, is you travel with them. And a lot of times, if you go on like a mission trip, you get to learn people and you learn them very well. If you're staying in like not good surroundings, and it's really good. Like we had our friends, Greg and Molly, that we traveled with. And that was one of the things, like we did our first trip together and you're like, okay, how's this going to be? And we traveled great together.
Yeah, but
and
those
so
are people that
do.
You want to travel with. But can you imagine if some of those people that you've gone on like those mission trips with that you can't stand, imagine if you were going on a vacation with them.
Yeah, that would not.
I would never do that. Test your Christianity. So travel with at least four people you want to be with you.
Yeah.
The other part of the formula, enjoy a minimum of four new experiences together.
I do like that. I know you find this hard to believe, but when I'm traveling, I will actually try different foods. As picky as I am, especially on a cruise, because here's the safety net on a cruise. A cruise, they're like, hey, you want to try the gazpacho garulio? And you're like, I don't know what it is, but that's fine. Let's do it. And you take a sip of it, and you're like, that's horrible. And they have so much extra food they can bring you.
I get that, because you've already paid for it. Why not try it?
Yeah, exactly.
But in a normal day-to-day life off of a cruise.
I still try. I'll try things. Like I try.
What if it's like $80 a plate?
No. I never
40.
Spend. No, I don't know.
30.
No, I'm
20.
Only if it's offered to me. Like I'm not going to spend money, big money on something that's iffy. Yes.
Got it. Okay. And then lastly for this formula, do at least one thing that's unexpected.
Okay.
I don't know what that means. Unexpected is put in quotation marks. So
maybe unexpected for you. Like maybe you should go and bungee jump if you have never done that before.
Maybe so.
Or just go out and be in public if you're kind of shy or an introvert and go experience things. Or like sometimes for you, like go and do something by yourself too.
Mm-hmm.
Like that maybe you wouldn't normally do or you'd talk yourself out of.
Right.
You should go do that, you know.
And I also found the top moments that can make a vacation memorable.
Mm.
So the top four. Watching a sunrise or sunset with friends and family.
Sunset.
Yeah, because sunrise, you got to get up early.
And you're just angry at that point. Like, why are we doing this?
Yeah. Number two, something happens that becomes a running joke the whole trip.
Yes.
And that also leaks into number three, something funny happens that you'll tell stories about for years.
I love, that's one of the best parts of traveling is the stories that you get and the ones that are funny and you share with other people or become inside jokes and stuff. Like, I love that part.
And then finally, a new experience takes you out of your comfort zone. So, you know, that's what's going to make for a memorable vacation is a new experience.
So if you seek those things out, maybe you'll have a better vacation. Like if you're like going
into better experience.
Yeah, you go into it planning things. Because I like to do that. I like to do things that I've never done before. My wife, on the other hand, does not. She likes to know everything that is going to happen to her possibly through this thing. Like she wants it explained at nauseam. And I'm like, all right, let's do this. You know, let's just see what happens here. And
that's because you're
not afraid of death.
I wasn't going to go there, but okay.
Yeah, she is on the other hand. And so I'm like, that's
well, I mean, you're the one that she can count on for like the life insurance.
Exactly.
So she's him do it.
Yeah, go ahead. Parachute. Here's a plastic bag instead of a parachute.
She's over there poking holes.
Oh, exactly. Oh, man. All right. Well, do you have any birthdays today? And we got to do weekend plans.
I do. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I do. Okay. So we're going to do a couple of them because bad news, prepare your heart. Wally and I are out on Monday. It's a holiday. But then Tuesday, we're leaving to go to Momentum in Orlando, Florida. And so that's a whole all week situation.
It's
so,
like a radio seminar thing.
We will not be here to do a podcast and an aftercast.
Yep. So sorry about that. And we appreciate you guys missing us, though. That's really nice.
So I want to catch up on a few of the birthdays.
Okay, go for it.
Lisa to Elias. Elias is a great kid who is 14, Wally's biggest fan, homeschooled with no social media. Half of his ideas are shaped by Wally.
Oh, no.
Not sure if that is a good thing or not. I'll let you know in a few years.
It is not. It is not a good... No, I'm being self-deprecating. I think that kid's going to be amazing.
Oh, gosh. Now you're being too confident. We'll come back to the question. Gib wants to wish his daughter Amy a happy birthday.
That's a cool name.
Amy is kind, smart, and awesome. Happy sweet 16th birthday. birthday nice. From mom and dad. Man, that's an awesome one. Happy birthday, Amy. Sierra wants to wish her dad, Russ, a happy birthday. Said, Russ is such an amazing dad and grandfather. He's been an avid listener for a long time. Whoa. He catches up on the show every road trip.
Nice.
And then Adam wants to wish his oldest son, Parker, a happy birthday. The only thing better than his grades at school is his love for Jesus.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Way to go, Parker.
All right, back to the question that Lisa wanted to ask, and this has to do with her son, Elias, who is your number one biggest fan.
Love that kid.
Being Elias's mentor, what ways would Wally say to be more like him, and what ways to be less like him?
Oh, boy. Okay.
So if this kid, Elias, wants to be more like you, well, you know there's good and bad that
Absolutely.
Comes with that.
Absolutely.
So let's say he wants to be better at channeling his inner Wally. Well, okay. What's one thing you would tell a 14, I think? Yeah, 14-year-old.
To be more like me, the thing that I didn't realize in high school was confidence. Like the kids that
you
are...
You didn't have confidence
No, I did
at
not.
14.
No, I was 4 feet one, you know? And like, no, I did not. And that was the thing when I was younger, I didn't have a lot of confidence. And the kids that made it through high school the best were the kids that were just confident in themselves. Now, I always was me. You know, I always liked to have a sense of humor, and that's how I lived my life, and that's what got me into and out of trouble. So it's a double-edged sword. It still is to this day. But so I would say like, I'm confident now, you know, and so I would say lean into that confidence. Not arrogance, but confidence in who you are and what you do well, and do what you do well. Enjoy the things you enjoy. Like, I remember I used to make fun of, like, kids that were, like, into Lord of the Rings or nerdy things. And then I realized one day, I'm like, those kids have something they love and they're passionate about. Knock yourself out, man. Like, that's good. I love that. Like, at least
keeping
you
out of trouble.
Yeah, you got some direction and stuff like that.
Right. Now, when it comes to the less part, Elias wants to be more like you, but maybe he's picked up a couple of habits that he's heard through the show about you that he wants to pick up. Maybe you've learned, maybe this isn't the best thing to do if you want to be more like me.
I mean, it's definitely getting angry about things and frustrated about things.
About nonsensical things. Things that
they're
don't
sensical
even...
to me, but...
Right.
But not to you.
Well, I would say to most people.
No, I the world bothers me. And so, Elias, I don't want the world to bother
right,
you.
Right, because you're going to live a very angry
right.
life if you're constantly angry about something.
Yeah. I definitely, what I would say, too, is, like, find the good, you know, in life. Like, that's a thing where I don't look for that enough. I see all the bad. I'm well aware of it. And I hold on to it, or I seek it out sometimes. You know, it's weird. Mm-hmm. It's a really weird thing.
Self-sabotage thing.
Yeah. And like, yeah, if I'm not in some drama, then, like, I'm not living. you know, so, like, yeah, I would say, because when I was younger, I definitely, I wish you had known me when I was, like, 19, Rock. I was a completely different person. Like, I saw the good in everything. I saw the good in everyone. You've met my mom, right?
Mm-hmm. She's awesome.
Right. That was me at 19. Like, she just held on to it. She didn't get into radio. Mm-hmm. And so, like, when I was younger, I definitely saw so much more joy. And now things just frustrate me, and I get angry and frustrated by things, and I act out a little bit on those.
So don't, I guess what he's trying to say, Elias, is don't cause drama because you need the drama.
Yeah, because like, otherwise life is boring. So learn, that's what I get down to. I'm like, I'm bored. Let's start some drama, you know? Like, be okay with where you're at and enjoy that moment.
That's not healthy.
Yeah, oh, not at all. All right, here we go. And weekend plans. Everyone's got them weekend plans. All right, Joshua jumped right in there. So Joshua, we're going to start with you since you're here in town.
All right.
Visiting. What is your weekend plan?
I'm actually going to go to downtown Nashville and just explore.
Nashville is great. You got to go to Jack's Barbecue.
Jack's Barbecue.
It's a hole-in-the-wall barbecue place on Broadway. It's really good, and it's like a staple in Nashville. There's not a lot of great barbecue places, believe it or not, in Nashville. So go to Jack's.
I wanted to also say that I know Betty mentioned this a few times before, and you did too, but traveling in Nashville, it was a nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
It was a nightmare.
Yeah.
There were like it was about an 8-hour drive from Kansas, but it turned into like 9 hours. Because okay. There's like almost 30 minutes, an hour wait because of like a lot of wrecks and everything. It was.
You should make it your mission to find bridal parties because they're everywhere, bachelorette parties downtown, and become their best friend. Like be the one they're like, we just love Joshua. He's great. He's our new best friend. And then just hang out with him all night. That'd be fun. So make that part of your thing. Well, it
depends on what
thing.
You find fun.
I don't know about that.
All right, well. Lady Rock, weekend plans and go.
Okay, so tonight, nothing. And I am looking forward to it. I'm going to go to sleep early. Maybe get 12, 13, 14 hours. I don't know. We'll see where the spirit leads. Tomorrow, I'm going to go pick up something on Facebook Marketplace.
And she's she's not just picking up something on Facebook Marketplace. She's picking up something that most people would find crazy to drive over an hour to go get.
I'm going to make a trip of it, though.
Good for you.
I'm going to go to antique stores and stuff over there.
Because it's an area you don't normally go to. It's like over an hour away.
Yeah.
What are you picking up again? I forgot. DVD box set of what?
There it is.
Wait for it.
DVD set of the show
Mama's Family. Brand new, unopened. And she's getting Mama's Family.
It's $20.
I know.
I mean, and it's like $60 on Amazon.
The amount of time, and you are going to love it. It is it's Mayberry on steroids. so it's where Mayberry
right
was sweet. This is totally wrong and like kind of country and redneck.
Isn't it in the 70s?
Yeah.
Or is
it
80s?
It was probably the 80s. It was a spinoff from the Carol Burnett show. And it's there are funny moments in it. You will love it. You will love it. And it's worth I'm so happy you're doing this.
So I'm going to go pick that up. And then Sunday is church. And then Monday.
Are you doing something Monday?
Not that I know of just yet. So we'll see.
What? It's Memorial Day.
I know.
You don't have plans with friends?
Pack.
No. Normally you go out on a boat.
That's true.
Yeah.
But a lot of my friends are out of town.
She's like, wait a minute. No one asked me this year.
A lot of my friends are out of town. Like those that get in charge of getting the boat, they're in Florida visiting family. So it's like, if they're the ones in charge, then it's probably not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
And I'm okay with that.
Okay. Yeah, because we got to pack for our trip on Tuesday. I am so excited. I got to wait here for a little bit more. I got meetings and an interview with Micah Tyler. And then I have to get home. I want to get home because I'm starting to build my... my pergola over my grill, and I've got it all figured out.
It's just over your grill?
Yeah. But it's like 8 feet tall.
I thought a pergola was like one of those things you see in a garden where it has like a roof that comes down, like at an angle.
I'm using that terminology, but it basically is something that I instead of saying it's a cantilevered roof, which is what it is, I designed
a cantilever roof?
Cantilevered, meaning it sticks out farther on one side than the other. The center point is farther back. I've designed it.
Do you ever think that someone, like let's say at some point you're going to sell your home, people are going to come in and they're going to be like, there are so many home projects done to this home. This man was so busy.
Yeah.
Are so bored.
But they're all good though. Like that's the thing. We have a no jank rule in my house. Like my wife will not let me do anything janky. And so they're all good. Now there is that one tile in that floor that's out of place.
Oh, the tile in the guest bathroom.
That was put in the mosaic wrong by the company.
Like an eyesore.
That has a carpet over it
a
now.
A professional would have noticed
no,
it.
No, he would not have.
Or
no.
even fixed it. But this guy was like, it's good enough.
Character. It's character. I'll create a whole backstory about it, and I'll put it in the documentation for the house being sold.
What is the backstory going to be?
I'm not sure. I'll make it like a treasure hunt. Like leave like clues in the house that lead to that point, and then they'll tear up the floor thinking that there's treasure under it. That'd be so funny. but the stuff I'm doing it's really good. Like the stuff that I've done looks good. That's my whole weekend. That's what I'm doing all weekend.
So are you going to do any time spent with your wife?
Yeah, she's going to be holding some of the boards.
fun for her.
I already told her, I'm like, I need your help holding some boards so I can get them plumb before I attach them. I know. It's just, we get to spend time together. It's great. I'll let her share her feelings while we do it.
Well, you're not paying attention.
Yeah. Win-win. So everybody wins there. All right. Well, that's going to do it for your aftercast for today. Have a great weekend. Again, like Betty said, we are out all next week, and we apologize. But thanks for being a potty.